Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. We're just talking about greats of the NBA. And by the way, before I say anything else, let me just say NFL, Aaron Rodgers, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes.
So let me just, yeah.
Right, now we can all talk the NFL NBA. Talk I just want to make sure that people know that, you know, NFL is in the air.
Yes, we got. So I know we're going to bring on Corey Alexander right now. UVA, one of the deadliest shooters and ballers in basketball, coming on the show. And Corey, I have to ask you about this. Does his name belong? Because if he wins his third MVP.
Three in a row.
He will be in this three in a row.
Three in a row, there's only three other guys who've done it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm getting to – he will be in this category, Corey. Moses Malone, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, Nikola Jokic.
No, those guys didn't win three in a row. Larry Bird, the three in a row club is Bill Russell, Wilt Chamberlain, Larry Bird.
Oh, just three total?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, three in a row.
Three in a row.
But either way, Jay, the answer is no. He doesn't belong.
So is that more an indictment on the MVP award in general? That's a regular season award? Like, how do you view it? Or is that more of an indictment on Jokic?
Well, there was a change in the 90s where the MVP award became a popularity contest. Mm. So if you think about it, from 1987 to 1998, the most valuable player in the NBA was Michael Jordan every year, except for the time when he was playing baseball. So if you go back and you say, okay, well, they got voter fatigue. They stopped giving it to Jordan. And honestly, you know, Kobe missed some that he should have gotten because of some off-the-court issues. LeBron missed a couple that he should have gotten.
Mm-hmm, sure.
So the MVP doesn't go to the best player. It goes to the guy who's having the best season.
Who hasn't already won it a lot of the time. Corey, who hasn't already won it a lot of the time. But in Jokic's case, there doesn't seem to be fatigue.
All right, Max, so let me ask you this. Do you remember 2 years ago when Jokic got MVP because he was carrying a team that had guys that were injured?
Yep.
Fast forward to today. Look at what Joel Embiid has done. He carried a team when guys were out. Remember, Tyrese Maxey missed a lot of time. James Harden one day, et cetera. Look at what Joel Embiid has done, but the same doesn't apply for Joel Embiid that applies for Jokic.
And then
you think about what Giannis has done this year. Chris Middleton missed the first half of the season.
Giannis has a hell of a
they're
case.
They're still second in the East, and now they're first in the East. Giannis is putting up MVP numbers, and the difference between Embiid and Giannis, they play both ends of the floor. When does the MVP only have to play one side?
So, wait, Corey, are you saying that there's a conspiracy? Are we stating
not,
officially on the
I
record?
I'm
just asking, Corey. This is how we talk hoops, Corey. I'm just asking. Are you saying that this is the goalpost has continued to be moved for Jokic where it hasn't been moved for other players?
I'm not saying that it's being moved for Jokic. I'm saying that it has been moved, and it continues to be moved because when you look at this, this isn't about who's the best player or even the most valuable player in the game. It's about who's most popular from the standpoint of you're putting up a triple-double. That's great. They say no center's ever done it. But Will Chamberlain led the NBA in assists 1 year. I can't imagine how you could say that no center's ever done it because you know he averaged at least double-figure points and rebounds. So that's that. I don't know where it comes from. Maybe they didn't keep assists at the time, but they knew that he led the NBA in assists. So all the narrative of no center's ever done this is wrong.
See, Bill Russell did it too, by the way. My only problem, and I get that it's a regular season award, and I think you're right too, Corey. You know, last year he got awarded because he was more durable than Joel Embiid, and he played more games, and I can understand that. I hate how this makes people view Jokic as less, because he is still one of the most unique talents the game of basketball has seen, with his size, his passing ability. And you can, if you don't want to call this athleticism, then fine. But I see it as elite athleticism. You know, his dexterity is different, Corey. His hands, he has the best hands in the league, man.
I agree, Jay. I take nothing away from Jokic. I think that he is awesome as a basketball player, as a talent. Kendrick Perkins said it. He may be the most skilled center we've ever seen, and that could very well be true. But if you look back at the greatest players of this game, they all played both ends of the floor. And Giannis is the best player in the game today because of not only what he does offensively, but what he does defensively as well.
I agree with you.
Michael Jordan is the greatest player of all time because of what he did offensively and defensively. And so that's the thing. When you start adding the guys and you put him in the category of Magic Johnson, you know, said, come on, we're not talking about a top 10 all-time guy when it's all said and done.
Well, Corey, that's what's
even
interesting.
Even though he will win his third MVP.
Corey, that's what's interesting. I agree with you. The reason we went one to Jokic just now, and Jay had him at 5, I had him at 8. And my main reason, I have two reasons for not having him higher. Mm-hmm. One is he only plays one end of the floor. And the other is it doesn't translate in the playoffs so far. Now, he might be a victim of circumstance because he was still getting better. Like, he wasn't as good then as he is now in the bubble when Jamal Murray balled out and he didn't really match him. And so they got bumped by the Lakers after getting by the Clippers, right? You could argue was an MVP the first or second time. And then he gets them close because he was a little more durable and it was close. And then this year, he really might be the MVP of the regular season in such a way that you got to give it to him. But it hasn't translated in the playoffs. So without the defense and without the playoff success, that's one thing. But here's the next thing, Corey. If he then does win a championship this year, because he does have a healthy squad and he has improved, right? Then doesn't he retroactively get a new level of credit? And now those MVPs plus the chip shoot him up toward the top all time, doesn't it? Isn't this like a huge, huge playoff? So it's like, who is there more pressure on in the NBA than Jokic right now?
It absolutely does, Max. I agree with you 100%. If he wins a championship after this season and what he's been able to do over the last 3 years, it does take him to a different level. It still doesn't take him top 10 all time to me, but at the same time, it does put him now in that category to where he can start getting in that conversation.
Yep.
Because if we look back at Steph Curry, we look at Steph Curry differently after he won his fourth championship, because he was the guy in the finals. He was the guy throughout the playoffs. And again, if Giannis is able to do that and win, now I do think it takes him to a different level.
Jokic.
Just to let you know, Max, like Jokic's defensive rating is 109.5 this season. That's top 20 in the league. Just, I'm letting you know, I know that these are narratives that follow people. I'm just throwing it out there.
When you watch.
Corey, I want to go to another name that we used to always make mention. It felt like in the same breaths as the Giannis's, the Steph Curry's, even the Jason Tatum's, the Jokic's, the Embiid's, Anthony Davis. And, you know, a lot of times when LeBron James goes out, I'm sitting there watching the game last night, and for me, regardless of whatever people think about him, we know where AD is talent-wise, and I know what kind of contribution he can provide on the court. But I'm watching him in the first quarter, and I'm just like, damn, AD, you take two shots in the first quarter. Like, there is no Steven Adams on the floor for Memphis. LeBron James is out. Why are you coming out trying to feel the game out? Why don't you make the game feel you out and be aggressive? Now, I know last night he's going to have 28 and 19. And at the end of the day, somebody's going to wake up and look at the stat sheet and be like, well, damn, he did his thing. But it still doesn't feel as if those were the impactful kind of 28-19 that a LeBron James or a Giannis would have that will alter the game. It feels like there were great points, but it doesn't feel like there were that. What do you think about Anthony Davis as it relates to being the guy on the team?
I absolutely believe that Anthony Davis can be the guy. But, Jay, you know this very well for bigs. And Anthony Davis is not the traditional big. He can rebound and push the basketball, but he gets criticized when he's shooting three. Right. So now when he doesn't get the basketball, because everyone for the Lakers say, OK, LeBron's out, I have to step up. Everybody else has to take up that slack instead of saying, LeBron's out, we need to get the basketball to AD. Now, that would be the mentality that I would expect to happen. And so AD doesn't take two shots in the first quarter because his teammates continue to throw him the basketball and get him involved. But I think that when you look at this team, and again, it's part of the playing with LeBron. When LeBron wins, LeBron gets the credit. When LeBron loses, it's his teammates' fault. So these guys are now trying to show that they're good enough to hold down the fort while he's out. And I think a lot of last night was everyone trying to do that and not saying, listen, let's go to our guy who is one of the best players in the NBA. Let him carry us. If you go back and you look at, when the Lakers were in the play-in tournament 2 seasons ago, they get into the playoffs. Look at what AD was doing then. Look at the 40-point games against Phoenix. You know, AD is still capable of doing that. I don't think that his teammates honestly look at him and say, he can do it. We have to do more. He can carry that team.
Yeah,
my opinion, Dave.
One of the things, though, talking to Corey Alexander here on Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio, just Jay and me today hanging out, ESPN Radio. One of the things about LeBron is, and the teammates, when he wins, it's LeBron, and when it's everyone else's fault, man, LeBron really has been that good for most of his career. No one's done, no one by himself can get a team closer to the promised land than LeBron, probably in the history of basketball. College basketball season is heating up, and that means Wendy's Wooden Watch has begun. Go to ESPN.com and search Wooden Watch for the list of the Wooden Award nominees to watch as this season rolls on. Jay, I know.
Corey, who you got this weekend? Duke, Carolina. We got them first. They got a big win at Florida State. Duke got a win last night at home against NC State. Who you got this weekend and why? And is your boy Baycott going to come to play? Because 1 point ain't going to do it.
1 point will absolutely not do it, and he knows that. When you think about these two teams, your Blue Devils, 16-0 at home, right? They struggled on the road. Carolina struggles on the road, lost 2 games at home this season. This is senior night. It'll be the last game of North Carolina for Leaky Black. Armando Baycott will be senior night for him, possibly could come back for a fifth-year COVID year. I think it will be the last game most likely for Caleb Love in a North Carolina uniform. I got to go with the Heels because a Saturday in Chapel Hill. Now, no other day. You play on, Monday through Friday, whatever
it's
may be.
Live.
It's
right.
Not like that. But a Saturday in Chapel Hill with the Blue Devils in there, Jay, it's going to be rocking. You played in that matchup. You know exactly what it's like. You probably didn't lose in Chapel Hill. I'm not sure. Did you lose any games there?
No, I lost to Cameron. Lost one game.
You did? Oh, yeah. Lost one game? Really?
It was tough. Yeah, we had lost Cebu. But you know what, Corey? I need this one. I've not been to a game since Coach K has lost at the Final Four. And then the game before that, obviously the last game at Cameron. So for me, being in the gym, I need us to crush senior night. It's not going to help with the wound. It's going to just give me a little scratch. I need an accumulation of scratches.
On this show with Jay.
That's what I need, Corey.
Here it comes.
That was tough last year.
Oh, it broke me. It broke.
This is not just that one, but you couple it with the Final Four.
We get it, Corey. We get it. We get it. This is a part of my healing process, Corey. Okay, let me heal. Damn it,
Corey Alexander, ladies and gentlemen. ESPN basketball analyst, former NBA guard, of course. Corey, great talking to you, man.
All right, Corey.
I appreciate you guys. Hi, fellas.
That's brought to you by Wendy's. 2 for $6. It's the best deal in fast food. All right, people want to talk. Lakers done. Jokic need to win a title. Drama? Is drama good for KD? 888, say ESPN.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Some beach, man. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. Just Jay and me today.
Kicking
it. Talked to Corey Alexander.
Kicking it.
Yeah, man.
A lot of interesting Nikola Jokic energy out there today.
Yes, but
on this potential third-time MVP. Back to back to back.
I'm contractually obligated, though, once we say the name Nikola Jokic, I must say.
Aaron Rodgers,
NFL.
Yes.
Combine.
That's right, the Combine.
Whoa. Combine, Justin Fields, draft, number one pick, trade.
You get
Bryce
the
Young, what? Franchise tag. Jokic, it's crazy. I've never seen it. I've mentioned this on This Just In a couple weeks ago. I've never seen a disconnect between a likely three-time consecutive MVP. It's only happened three times before in NBA history. And that guy, that same player's place in the hierarchy of NBA stars is not that high. You have him at five, I have him at eight. Most fans have him floating in and out of maybe the top five. I mean, when Larry Bird won three in a row, no one questioned. He was the nowadays, people say, oh, Magic or Larry. Back then, it was Bird. Bird was number one. Now we could talk about number two. When Wilt Chamberlain did that, it was either, and Bill Russell did, it was either Chamberlain or Russell. No one else was in the conversation.
Who's the best player in basketball right now, Max? Because to me, it's Giannis.
I agree. You have to factor in durability and everything.
I mean, so the fact that they're number two in the East without Chris Middleton playing a huge part of the season,
yeah.
Like he's in that conversation.
But he won a chip. That's what did it.
Oh, he not only won a chip. He had a 50-point game.
Come on, man.
In the NBA Finals.
Look, what it comes down to is, are you the best player? And as the best player, the finals MVP on a championship team, which nowadays only goes to the winner, right? So when you think about your list, Giannis, check. KD, check. Steph, check. Who you have four? LeBron, check.
Check.
Who you have five? Now we're getting to some. See, to me, I put Tatum ahead of Jokic. He didn't play very well in the finals. He was on a finals team that extended the series.
It is interesting to me because, you know, we make the case for Joel Embiid, and I do believe that Joel Embiid has been deserving of it. But, like, it was almost like Joel Embiid has escaped something. Because as much as you're angered about him not getting an MVP, what would the narrative be about him about if he were MVP and then they kept getting bounced early in the playoffs as well? Just like it would be the flip of how we're looking at Nikola Jokic right now.
It's wild, right? It's
but you don't look
point.
At Joel Embiid that way. You're like, oh, like he deserved it, but he never got it.
Embiid gets the sympathy vote in terms of or the sympathy feeling from fans. They feel sympathetic because
Ben Simmons,
yeah,
so not free throws.
Whereas Jokic, so in a way, obviously it helps Jokic to win all these MVPs, but in another way, the people are with Embiid because he's never won one, and Jokic has won three, but neither one has done better than the other in the playoffs.
And is there pressure on Jason Tatum? Because they've been at the top of the Eastern Conference the whole year.
Matter of fact, Embiid got
right, them. And they just got to the NBA Finals.
Right. You're right, but they did get to the finals.
They got
to
the finals.
Make a finals run.
I hear you. I mean, you got him, Jaylen Brown. You talk about two of the best two-way guards in the game of basketball.
I apply the same standard to everyone. Who was I on until this past season, and why was I on him?
Justin Herbert.
Steph Curry. Oh. I want – well, you. But now that we're talking about NBA, it's good. Justin Herbert, who else? What else do you want to say?
Joe Burrow.
Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
But we should just throw in some names. Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
Daniel Justin Jones. Jefferson. All right, now let's get back to the NBA for a second.
What's wrong with you?
Sean Payton.
Go ahead, man.
It's in my contract. I gotta bring it. Steph Curry had never been, by the end of the season, yes, he was, he won MVPs. Everyone shut up. I'm not talking about the regular season. Over half the teams until recently were still playing at the end of the regular season, and now fully, exactly, two-thirds of all NBA teams are playing after the regular season. Forget about the regular season. I'm not trying to hear about that when it comes to MVP. I wanted Steph Curry. at the end of everything. Can you be the finals MVP, the best player on a championship team? He had never been that before. Because in the past, his finals had been such that, let's give it to Iguodala. At least he had to guard LeBron, because LeBron was clearly the best player in the series. Let's give it to, he couldn't give it to Steph this year, this past year. End of the whole thing, you could say that might be the best player in the game right there, Steph Curry. Mm-hmm. Not regular season, everything. Brought him to a new level all time.
The Denver Nuggets have to win a chip this year.
Got a chip.
I don't care if the Phoenix Suns are the best team on paper, because then all of a sudden what that says is, well, there's no value in the actual team. Like, you guys are a team. Phoenix has 20 games to learn how to become a team. You're telling me within 20 games they figure it out and then they beat you, who you've been the best team in the Western Conference the whole year? Can't let it happen.
100%.
Not in a back-to-back-to-back MVP season for Nikola Jokic.
If Jokic is really on that level, then given what he has on the supporting cast, which is quite good.
The best supporting cast he's had since he's been available.
And given continuity, then there's no way you should be able just to add KD onto the Phoenix Suns, and now automatically they're going to get farther than the Nuggets. You're 100% right. 100% right.
That's a thesis, man. There's no better team or year for Jokic to win a world championship than this year.
Got
to
do it. Lakers done. Does Jokic need to win a title? Is drama good for KD? 888-SAY-ESPN. You're listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Carlos in Alabama. Carlos.
What's going on, Jay Wheeler, man?
What up, baby?
Yeah, I just want to call in on Yoke. Now, to me, Yoke might be a top 10 player at the most. Now, when you're talking about great players, he don't play any defense. When the last time you seen somebody just hunting LeBron or KD down? They basically hunt this dude down when they don't have the ball. Yeah, they're looking defense. For him to shoot.
Wait, Jay.
Do we once a long time have James Harden as a top five, top six, top seven player in the league?
Yeah, 5, 6, 7, yeah.
No defense.
Yep.
Zero. No. I can recall multiple times doing NBA Countdown where I was able to stop the film and be like, yo, my man is kicking it. Yeah. He's chilling. So I'm just keep it a buck about everybody then.
No, but put it this way. Jokic, in a way, reminds me of Steph in this sense, okay? Steph is not a good defender, but Steph is a willing defender. He puts effort in.
His rating is so much better than what it's been, Max. He's gotten better.
Yes, Jokic.
A lot better.
Here's the difference. Take Luka Doncic, someone like that, plays no defense. He just doesn't show up to play defense, right? Like, at all. Jokic doesn't do that. So, but he's certainly not. LeBron was an all-time great defender at his best. All-time great.
But you have Luka over
KD
over
is
Jokic.
A great defender, not a good one, a great one.
But yeah, Luka over Jokic.
I do, and the reason for that is when the ball is in your hands as a
final?
Point. Yes, he. First of all, his team has been deeper, and it's been no better than Jokic's team that got bounced by the Lakers. But also, when the ball is in your hand in the modern game, and you're initiating the offense,
let me
every
ask a question about this.
You have a little more value.
How do you look at Jalen Brunson now?
Better.
The Knicks are fifth in the East.
No question. Better.
There's no way they're fifth without him.
No, he's over-delivered.
Does it make you think about – I think this has always been who Jalen Brunson is. Mm-hmm. He's a culture builder. It makes me look at those teams with Luka. Like, you're wondering, like, what's the missing piece? I'm like, okay, I mean, I know they got Kyrie that can score explosively, but having a bona fide leader, somebody that can calm people down,
no
one's
stock
take that
has
for granted.
No one's stock has shot up more than Jalen Brunson in the league.
Just saying.
But wait a minute. I didn't say the name LeBron, KD, Giannis, or Steph. So once you say Brunson, now please correct that.
What do you mean?
NFL Combine.
Oh, Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers.
Yes. Rodgers.
We're Kirk building.
Well, better than nothing.
You want to give me like Derek Carr?
Sure, a little sexier,
yeah,
maybe.
A little bit different.
Huh.
Tua, is he going to come back?
At least for now we're talking NFL.
The Jets. Okay. What move are they going to make?
Jay, no? You're leaving the low-hanging fruit. Joe Burrow.
Oh.
What are they going to do about Jalen Hurts' contract?
Justin Herbert, I'm sorry.
Is Aaron Rodgers about to make a decision? We may have just gotten a clue. 888-SAY-ESPN.
The Prince of Darkness.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, Who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Well, I think he's going to end up back in Green Bay when it's all said and done.
If I am the Jets, I'm not waiting to see if Carr is going to come to me. I'm going to go make the moves to try and get Aaron Rodgers.
The number one spot I'm looking at right now, it's the Raiders.
Yo, you hear about Joe Burrow and Jalen Hurts are taking darkness retreats. You hear about this?
No.
No, of course not. They would never take a darkness. Joe Burrow and Jalen Hurts.
I was like,
Hurts,
wait, what? Breaking news, imagine, wait, what?
Could you imagine Joe Burrow, I'm going on a darkness retreat, or Jalen Hurts, I'm going on a darkness retreat?
He's starting a movement.
Darkness retreat.
Darkness retreats.
Oh, my God.
Darkness!
Ha-ha. Here's Aaron Rodgers on Aubrey Marcus podcast on his decision.
It's a very, there's a finality to the decision. Mm-hmm. And I don't make it lightly. I don't want to drag anybody around. Look, I'm answering questions about it because I get asked about it. I'm talking about it because it's important to me. If you don't like it and you think it's drama, you think I'm being a diva, whatever, then just tune it out. Mm-hmm. It's fine. Mm-hmm. But this is my life. It's important to me. And I'll make a decision soon enough. And we'll go down that road and be really excited about it.
One of my prediction about his decision.
I'm not mad at him for it.
Well, yeah, no, he's a, by the way.
I'm not mad at if you're, it is his life. He could do what he wants with it, and he's taking his time to make a decision. It's just this happened multiple times, and it feels very similar to Brett Favre.
Yeah, if you're really into this new age nonsense, go ahead. Do whatever you want to do. Like, I'm not holding it against
What's
you.
What's the new age nonsense?
Oh, stop it. Stop it. You know,
what?
Stop
taking
it.
Time to ponder a decision?
Thinking that cold pressed juice is better than a vaccination, you know, stuff like that. Come what on, that, stop.
Jeez.
Knock, you could drink all the cold pressed juice in the world.
It has nothing to do with that. The guy's trying to make a decision on whether he wants to come back and play football.
That's what I mean. I agree with him. It's his
decision. You have to bring it to
whatever
cold pressed juice.
Into. Well, you know, a darkness retreat. I get it. He's all right.
Yeah, I mean, Bane was molded by the darkness. I mean,
listen, no, it's up to him. He's right. It's America. Do what you want. It's none of my business. I mean,
molded by
but
it.
But I find out about it because you're very famous and we're interested in your life, apparently, the media is. But let me make a prediction about what the darkness has revealed to him, Jay. Mm. What it's illuminated for him.
Illuminated.
Ironically. He is going to pretend to retire. To shut people like me up. Of course he's going to take the money. So he's going to talk about, and then he'll come back, of course, because he's going to take the $60 million. That's my prediction. It's going to be a short-lived retirement.
Hard to turn down $60 million. I am a little bit confused because this morning waking up, I tried to text him. Brandon Marshall went on, you know, played football in the NFL for a long time, had I Am Athlete brand.
Yeah. Literally, Brandon Marshall's been on this show.
Yeah,
this just
did
a bunch
shows.
Of times. Yeah.
Literally took to his Instagram account and was the first to congratulate Aaron Rodgers on retirement. And it left me a little bit flabbergasted. Not really. I'm like, what, did I miss something? So then I start doing all my work, calling people early this morning. I'm like, wait, so he didn't retire. Does Brandon Marshall know something that we don't know? Is he just trying to be first to the marketplace? Like, is Aaron Rodgers actually going? It wouldn't surprise me, Max, mm-hmm. if Aaron Rodgers did retire.
Would he unretire?
And just walk. I don't.
See, it would not surprise me if he claimed he was retiring, or even actually so-called retired, and then came back. But would you? It would shock me if he walked away and he was done with football. Shock me.
I don't know. Paying attention to Aaron Rodgers over the last several years, it wouldn't shock me.
But like,
I don't know if
like,
it would shock me him walking away from $60 million. Like, I'm done. I'm just
keep
tired
in mind
of it.
If he says he's retired, I'm not taking that. I'll believe it when next season is over.
Huh.
No, scratch that. When the following season begins and he's still not in the league, now I believe him.
So you will need 2 years.
No, 1 year and some months.
And change.
Yeah, 1 year and change. Then I'm
okay
believing.
To firmly believe that he is retired.
We'll see if I can be as spectacularly wrong about Rodgers as I was about Brady.
Go ahead.
I refuse to get it right.
Make the hit. Go ahead. Make the strong take.
Yeah.
I mean, we already have.
That's what I think.
We already, Chris Candy already came on here and said that he feel like, you know, Aaron Rodgers fell off the cliff. He's done.
Yeah.
He'll never get back to MVP form.
Well, yeah, right.
Which to me, I'm like, he was just back-to-back MVP.
Yeah, I don't think.
He was just back-to-back MVP. And he broke his hand this year.
The thing about the Packers, too, is, you know, I quote Teddy Atlas about this, who's our colleague here at ESPN and a famed boxing trainer. Teddy talks about, like, a guy will jab his way in, and you know, and now he's inside. Then he ties the other guy up. And Teddy's like, no, you set the table. Eat. Now throw your punches. You got inside. What are you doing? Don't, you know. Aaron Rodgers spent all of last year bringing that receiving core along, right? And they almost got there. They ran out of time. You set the table, dude. Eat next year, right? The guys really came along. You're going to let someone else take over that? All right. Are you going to go somewhere else?
You think there's any part of Aaron Rodgers in which this is true where he really doesn't want to play football anymore? Or you think it's all an act?
Jay, I have no way to relate to that, but I would imagine there's a part of a lot of NFL players who pretty early in their careers go, I wonder if I want to still play. There've got to be moments where you're just physically, you know, racked with injuries, really, on a Tuesday morning, on a Monday morning, where you're like, oh, you know, especially after a certain age. But then I'm sure as you heal up, I imagine, and from talking to people, that you get that desire back.
That's why I always think it's interesting we find this, you know, beautiful marriage between NFL and NBA, and the two names that we've been talking about today the most are Kevin Durant and then Aaron Rodgers. And it's like all the other stuff, for me, I'm able to compartmentalize it, but for a lot of other people, all the other stuff takes away from their greatness on the field or on the court, because it feels like you're always talking about something other than their play. Right? With Jalen Hurts, like, we don't talk about anything else off the field. You only talk about his play. It doesn't give you anything else to talk about. Where it feels like with these others, there's a lot more there.
I think there are two things going on, Jay. I think you identified something real. One is they're interesting. Aaron Rodgers and Kevin Durant are interesting. Whatever it is about them, I can make fun of his darkness retreat, but the fact that he'll talk about that openly and everything is interesting. And the second thing is something that a producer of mine when I was doing HBO boxing, John Crystal, used to say about Roy Jones in his prime. He would say, I know what I saw. Like, you could say whatever you want about anyone else. I know what I saw. KD and Aaron Rodgers, whatever their careers shake out to be, how many championships, this and that, blah, blah, blah. When they were at their best, I know what I saw. And I think that's the reason we're interested and paying attention. And then they actually give us something to be interested in terms of their personalities.
See, because all this, I would love to listen to Brian Gutekunst for a second, just because, you know, while all this is happening, you have a person in his position that's trying to plan for the future while also trying to hit a moving target with whether Aaron Rodgers fits into that future or not.
Yes, you are the first person in history who's uttered those words.
Yes.
I would love to listen to Brian Gutekunst. In fact, when you look up charisma in the dictionary, right next to that is a picture of Brian Gutekunst. Here he is, Brian Gutekunst, Packers GM, on does he want Aaron Rodgers back?
Yeah, there's been some contact back and forth. Obviously, he's had some things on his plate, but hopefully those things will happen soon.
Do you want him back as the quarterback of the Packers?
Yeah, I think, you know, those discussions have to happen and making sure that it's the right fit. But obviously, we know the kind of player that Aaron is. And, you know, once we have those conversations, we'll be able to move forward. We'll have more to say.
Have your feelings on Aaron Rodgers changed, Brian Gutekunst, GM of the Packers?
Our feelings haven't changed about Aaron, but we need to have some of those conversations about our team, where it's going, where he's at, you know, before we go forward.
All right. According to them, it's the same old Aaron Rodgers. According to others, it's an old Aaron Rodgers.
Sit and wait. That's what they're doing.
All right. So Rodgers had some other things to say, Jay. Plus, KD makes his return tonight. We're going to see him on the Phoenix Suns.
Against the Hornets.
Against the mighty Charlotte Hornets.
With no LaMelo Ball.
Without LaMelo.
Better win this one.
They'll probably lose this game, right?
Ah.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, your calls, 888-SAY-ESPN.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, Their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
G-Shawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
There's no doubt in my mind that there's a lot of excitement around this Suns team of what they're going to be when they get Kevin Durant.
As far as integrating Kevin, I think there's going to be times where there may be hiccups.
Guy's been great at integrating me in all the sets and having a long practice so we can figure some stuff out. So it's been fun. I'm looking forward to try to, you know, translate that over to the floor.
The expectation is that he is going to hit the ground running, and it wouldn't surprise me at all if he fits in seamlessly to what this team does offensively.
Right, I will count this as breaking news. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Let me mention again, we're presented by Progressive Insurance. I tried, Yates. Okay, listen. Here you. Is Jeff Darlington's Twitter account quoting Aaron Rodgers. Mm-mm. Okay. I want to say ahead of time, I agree with every single word Rodgers says here, but the question is, what does it mean?
Well, let's hear it first.
About his future. Quote, "I've been doubted before. Honestly, I felt in the first year that Matt was here," meaning Matt LaFleur, the head coach, "in 19, I felt at times like a game manager. I didn't quite understand what we were doing at times on offense. My job is to take care of the football, and I did. I threw 4 interceptions and 26 touchdowns, and we were 13-3. But I felt like there was so much more. Then they drafted my replacement. And then I won MVP twice. I threw 85 touchdowns and 9 interceptions in 2 years. Boy, that doesn't even sound real. It's so good. Obviously, there were changes that happened on the team and the coaching staff, and I didn't have my best year playing, and there's probably people who think I'm done.
Max.
I thought I was done before I became MVP twice. There would be plenty of inspiration down that road. Jay, I want to say a couple things about this, and I'm curious to know what you think. Number one, his version of events are exactly my read of things as it was unfolding. So I'm happy he says this because it corroborates clearly what I was seeing and what many people were seeing, especially me. Now, second thing is, remember when I said the cliff for Tom Brady? I don't know if you ever heard about that, but I predicted Brady was going to
fall. Was that a thing?
Yeah. Now, one of the reasons is the history of the cliff, and I'm forgetting the person whose idea this was originally, and I apologize because I have just a billion names bouncing around in my head over the years, but the idea is that quarterbacks fall off at a certain age, but then not all of them are incapable of rebounding. But given the history of the league and their age, they also believe that maybe they've lost it, and so since it's a rough physical sport, they retire. They made plenty of money. The whole thing, they retire. They buy into it. Rodgers here is saying he's already been through that period where, because there was a new offense and a new head coach, he was a game manager. He did it successfully. They won 13 games, but he wasn't the great Aaron Rodgers. And then he won 2 MVPs. But in between that, after that first season, he also wondered, they drafted my replacement. Maybe they're right. Maybe I don't have it. In the past, so many guys would have retired. I think what Tom Brady showed is, wait a minute. There might be a lot left. And now Rodgers, having gone through that experience, is saying, just because it looked a certain way last year, I might still have a lot left.
You got the juice now, Aaron.
You got the juice now.
Right? I mean, think about the fragility of a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, who is perceived to be one of the greatest talents that actually doubted himself. Like, and I look, there are times that Aaron can rub you the wrong way. He's rubbed me the wrong way. But when you really dig into it, a lot of things he says, man, like he's just giving you his honest opinion about where he is in life. And I love the fact that he was being open, saying, I question myself, and then I bounce back. So for me, that's kind of a sign. I don't see him retiring. I don't see him retire. It's just a matter of where Aaron wants to play.
That does not sound like a guy who's going to retire, but it also doesn't sound like a guy who's going to play for the Packers to me.
Agreed. That's why I said, where Aaron wants to play.
And by the way, is that shocking? The most likely scenario has been from the beginning that Rodgers will continue to play, but not for the Packers.
And sometimes, man, relationships they just hit their course, right? I mean, you have a great run with somebody. Hey, look, I got here. You drafted me. I've been here for a long period of time. You saw that with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. You've seen that. I mean, Michael Jordan retired from playing with Phil Jackson and came back and played with the Washington Wizards. You see it from a lot of great players where it's like that run is just, it's over.
And I don't want to
see. They're all different. They're all different.
I don't want to see Rodgers retire. And the main reason I don't is, first of all, he's a great player. He does incredible things still. But the main reason I don't is if he ends on one Super Bowl, he will be lumped in a group that he does not belong in. Like, Drew Brees was a really good quarterback. He's a great quarterback. I watched them play as contemporaries. I never thought Drew Brees was on Aaron Rodgers' level. Or if he was on the level, he was, you know, Rodgers was on the top of that level.
But you don't think Rodgers is still on the top of that level?
I do, and that's what I'm saying. If he ends on one Super Bowl, he will be underrated throughout
history. But Max, you're a super smart guy. Are you really going to
super smart?
Are you going to look at it from somebody who's super genius, like you proclaim to be, right? Super genius. Are you going to look at it
Rodgers
and
Kyrie?
You're going to look at it and say Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees are the same because they have one Super Bowl.
I think
they're not.
This is what's crazy. As time goes on, people will look at the numbers. Remember I said about Westbrook or Jokic? If they win a championship, if Westbrook wins a championship on the Clippers somehow, his whole career is going to look different to people because when you go back and some of the details fade and you look at the numbers, you go, oh, my God. So, yeah, as time goes on and what contemporary accounts fade and what's left is what was done in the record, yeah, I do think that Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers' place will look the same to people. And it will be an injustice to Rodgers, who's a better player.
Well, then I don't think those people know a lot about sports. That's going to be a very surface-like take on things because I think anybody who knows anything about sports is going to sit there and say the talent of Aaron Rodgers is drastically different than Drew Brees.
But you and I are probably guilty of that right now in considering players from the past when in eras that we didn't live through. And so what's left is the record, their stats, and the championships, right? That's what we will go to because there's too much information to process in the world. We need shorthand. It's why people generalize. It's why there's stereotypes. It's where the human brain is wired. So we're going to look, how many championships did he win? What do the numbers look like?
That doesn't make it right, though. It doesn't make it right. That's why you need people to help inform you on what the details actually were.
That's why one of the things I do is look at what was his MVP finishes throughout his career? In other words, because that's shorthand for what were contemporary audiences feeling about this guy? I'm trying to get some sense of the impression that a certain player left.
If Aaron Rodgers were to retire today, talent-wise, I'm not saying team sports.
Like second all-time to Mahomes. My
junior
mind.
Year of college, we were by far the best team on paper.
Right.
Up 19. Just had a dog crap run for a second. Lost Indiana. Right? Should have won back-to-back championships. It happens. We didn't win it.
And it's like a one-and-done sport like the NFL.
Like the NFL. Yeah. Like, are you going to look at Aaron Rodgers and say he's not one of the most talented quarterbacks you've ever seen in the history of a game?
I will look back and say Aaron Rodgers, until Patrick Mahomes came around, Aaron Rodgers was the best I'd ever seen.
So, I mean, like, just as a former athlete, I know we always want the athlete to do more, to cement themselves in how we view greatness. But as a former athlete looking at him, man, he's one of the greatest to ever do it. I know it didn't equate to Super Bowl wins all the time, like the way you want it, but I can detach the two and look at it sheerly from a talent perspective.
I think he's one of the best. I think also Drew Brees and Brett Favre and like Peyton Manning, et cetera, et cetera, a lot of them are one of the best, but there's some guys like Peyton at his best, like Rodgers at his best, that just felt different. And at least Peyton got that second one. Even though it was the remains of Peyton Manning, at least he got that second
one. Like but you can't look at the second one and be like, was that a shell of Peyton Manning?
It was. 9 touchdowns, 17 picks.
Come on.
Yeah.
What
are
we doing?
But he got it. He did.
But how he got it doesn't matter.
It does matter.
But you're saying it doesn't matter because you're saying all that matters is at the end of the day he got
it. Not for my perception or yours, but for future generations,
That's the wrong perception.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. The details
Is that
get
what
lost.
You're saying? I'm confused. The super genius is confusing
me. More
Sports
Talk Radio coming up, and we'll be back tomorrow. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.